to the death.
No, to the pain.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
That may be the first time in my life a man has dared insult me.
It won't be the last. To the pain means the first thing you lose will be your feet below the ankles. Then your hands at the wrists. Next, your nose.
And then my tongue, I suppose. I killed you too quickly the last time. A mistake I don't mean to duplicate tonight.
I wasn't finished. The next thing you lose will be your left eye, followed by your right.
And then my ears, I understand. Let's get on with it.
Wrong! Your ears you keep, and I'll tell you why. So that every shriek of every child at seeing your hideousness will be yours to cherish. Every babe that weeps at your approach, every woman who cries out, "Dear God, what is that thing?" will echo in your perfect ears. That is what the pain means. It means I leave you in anguish, wallowing in freakish misery forever.
Any Princess Bride fans? Yes? No? We got a couple. Okay, thank goodness. If you have not seen that movie, you need to rent Princess Bride. It's a great, clean, family, wholesome, fun film. But you ever feel that way? You ever feel like you're living life to the pain? That it's like, that no matter what you do, something else is kind of coming around the corner and like someone is out to get you, that life just keeps kind of cutting you just to watch you bleed. You ever feel that way? Yeah, Pastor Joe had a situation like that yesterday. I'm not going to tell the story. I would not take it away from you. But we've had all kind of situations in our life where this happens, where it's like no matter what you try to do, no matter how you try to get ahead, no matter where you go, something else happens. And it's like, oh, I'm like, and you just kind of, you can't catch a break. Maybe you feel like you can't catch a break, or what do you do when, like Philip P. Bliss said, when sorrows like sea billows roll, when the sorrow of life, when the grief, when the trials, they hit you and it strikes you and it's coming like a wall that you cannot avoid, that you cannot get away from. And you know, you feel like it's just gonna roll over you and there will be nothing left. We do lots of different things when this happens. A lot of us avoid, you know, deny. It's not happening. Everything's gonna be great. Everything's gonna be fine. I'm good, you're good. Or maybe you get angry. You get angry at God, you get angry at other people. You start accusing and you just kind of boil up and you let the rage inside of you carry you. And that's just your kind of go-to emotion. Or maybe you bargain, you begin to promise your way out of it. God, if you can only take this away, then I'll do this. I'll go to church, I'll help out with the summer food program, God. Like, come on, that's a big deal. Like, God, I'll do this thing, I'll do that thing. God, just make this go away. Heal my loved one, get me out of this situation at work, put my family back together, restore my marriage, help me with my wayward child. God, whatever it takes, help me out here. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. We bargain with God. And maybe another form of bargaining is that we second guess every decision. Well, if I'd only done this, I should have done that. Maybe if we'd have done this, maybe if we'd have tried that, if we'd have had this situation, if that wouldn't have done, we wouldn't have made that choice then. And we start to second guess everything. Another way we deal with it is depression. And I'm not talking about the mental illness of depression where you have a chemical imbalance in your mind and maybe you need medication or help for that. I'm talking about the kind of depression that comes when you're facing a particularly tough, heavy grief and sorrow in your life. A moment or a situation that you don't know how to deal with. And so depression, you withdraw from life. And life, you feel like you're left in a fog of intense sadness, wondering perhaps if there's even any point of going on. And you just kind of feel like you're stuck there. That's one way people deal with it. Another way is acceptance. And this is the way life is. Life is new. It's different now. This change has happened. And I'm not going to let my past define me. I'm going to move on. I'm going to carry on. And I'm going to move through it. And that's incredibly difficult because, say, if you lost a loved one or you're in a particularly tough situation, you know, other people around you, you might feel like you're betraying that person to do that, to move on, to accept the change. And these are what's called the five stages of grief. Maybe you've heard about it, maybe you haven't. It's how we handle as humans grief, sorrow, how we get through situations. I don't know if you call it getting through it or not, but you don't have to feel them all. It's not like you go through, like, I feel this one first, and then this one first, and then this one first. It's a conglomeration of all of them. These are kind of ways that we describe this emotional process of loss, of grief in our lives. And all of us have at some point probably been there. And I'm only 32. I know I look like I'm 14, so I have to say that if you don't know me. I'm only 32, but I have experienced loss. I've lost my grandparents on both sides, you know, and Uncle Rusty, who just passed, was a good friend of mine. And you know, we experience these loss, and how do we deal with it? You don't have to feel it all the same. Everyone handles grief differently. It comes in waves, off and on. I was talking with my friend Justin yesterday. No, it wasn't yesterday, it was Friday. And Justin, his wife died in a horrible car accident about 2 months after he was married. And I was just talking to him about loss. How do you deal with that? And he said, you know, it comes in waves. It comes in moments where it just like strikes you and you're just incapacitated. I mean, you're just like completely shut down, and then you could be fine the next moment. You know, you wake up and everything's great and you're fine and you're moving on, and then just something switches, it snaps inside of you, and you're just completely grief stricken. And that's how it works. And it comes in waves, and you're fine one moment and crushed another. It's highs and lows. One person has to deal with it by going to play golf or going out with friends and you know, having a good time. And another person deals with it by staying in bed, because how could I even get out of bed? And we all deal with it in completely different ways. And it's totally easy to judge how other people are feeling. How can you be so okay with this? How can you go on when I'm feeling this? You know, or how come you're sitting there just wallowing in it the whole time? Why don't you give it to God? You know, if you're Christian, you know, then you bring out the Christian weapons, you know, give it to Jesus, you know, let him take all this. Why are you doing this? You shouldn't feel that. And maybe even start to feel guilty about the feelings that you have. But we shouldn't judge each other. We shouldn't. We should support each other through our own process. And this morning, I kind of want to take this opportunity, because this is a real situation that I'm going through, to share how I'm dealing with grief and how I'm kind of getting a little bit better understanding of what God says about grief and how to handle it. I don't have all the answers. You guys could probably teach me a lot, but this is what God's showing me, and I want to share it with you this morning, and I hope that it will help you. And I really think that no matter what stage you're in grief and dealing with tough situations in your life, that this is going to help you through that process. So this morning I want to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This has been kind of a theme verse of my life over the past few months. It's come out in our lessons at Oasis a few times. It keeps cropping up. It used to be that every time I preached, people would joke, we're going to Romans chapter 6. Now I feel like the last few months it's been Romans chapter 5. It's a theme that God's been kind of bringing up in my life. And so I want to look at that this morning. So Romans chapter 5, I'm reading out of the King James Version, if you want to follow along this morning. It says in verse number 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want to talk to you guys about the first mention of hope here in this chapter. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's in verse 2. In hope of the glory of God. What is that? What is the hope of the glory of God? I mean, someday we'll get to go and be with God. That this life, this body is not the end of us. That someday we go to heaven to be with God and live eternally. That's awesome. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've received him into your heart as your Lord, you've asked forgiveness for your sins, and he has given his gift of eternal life to you, we call that salvation, we call that being saved, we call that the gospel message, that Jesus paid for our sin on the cross, and we can receive that into our hearts. That's the gospel message. If you've made that decision in your life to confess that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to come into your heart, receive his gift, his death on the cross, then we believe that Jesus will transform you. He will forgive you of all of your sin that you've ever committed, and he will give you eternal life. It's pretty awesome. That's what the song, "We Have Found Our Hope, We Have Found Our Peace," is all about. It's amazing. That's why we do what we do. That's what being a Christian is kind of all about, that story. And so this hope is that thing that, hey, this world, even if it's to the pain, you know, no matter what, someday I'll be out of this. There will be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. I'll be in a better place with, you know, streets of gold and big screen TVs. You know, it changes over the years as we think about heaven. You know, we're going to have this awesome time in heaven, and it's going to be great, and we'll be able to eat all we want and never gain weight. You know, whatever your dream or your thought is, you know, of heaven and what that looks like, that we have this hope that this world is not the end. And that's great, and that's kind of comforting, but honestly, that's not very comforting to me right now. You know, as a pastor, I've preached lots of funerals, more than I can remember. And, you know, I say, hey, if they know Christ, then you'll see them again someday. And that gives me a little bit of hope. It does. It's a piece of hope, and I can thank God for that I will be reunited with them. That's helpful. But it doesn't do a whole lot for me. I still have pain. I still hurt. It still aches. It's not all that hopeful. What about now? What about now? What about the next holiday when they're not there? What about that, God? What about that next birthday and mom and dad aren't together because they got that divorce? What about that, God? How's that hopeful for this child? You know? God, I lost my job. How am I going to pay for this wedding that's coming up? Yay, I'm going to be in heaven someday and I won't have to worry about money. I won't have to worry. But what about now, God? See, sometimes that hope of eternal life in heaven is kind of intangible. And we can't really, I can't hug that, God. It won't hug me back. You know what I mean? That's not providing the comfort that I really need at this time. And so I read on. And it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Okay? Yes, that's some hope, God, that we have eternal life. Praise you. Thank you for that. But we glory in tribulations. And this is where I've been kind of camping out in Oasis and talking about our own personal growth and how we need to grow. God uses conflict. God uses all kinds of situations in our life to grow us. And that's what it says. It says, and knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience. So we're supposed to glory in tribulation. In the ESV, it says suffering. When suffering comes into our life, we're supposed to be thankful for that because it gives us patience or endurance, and the endurance or the experience gives us hope. Let me back up and read the whole thing because I'm getting lost. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Okay, so here's this whole process here. That when we face suffering and all these kind of situations, then it gives us stamina. It gives us this experience. It gives us patience. We gain experience or character as we grow through this. We learn how to handle these kinds of situations. It strengthens our character as a person, okay? That's pretty cool. That's how God works. Because honestly, if I just kind of tapped you on the shoulder and said, listen, you know, you need to stop being so mean to people and using those kind of words, that's not going to change you. That's not going to change you. But when your wife says, I'm going to leave you if you don't stop talking to me that way, now that pain, that crisis situation, not saying that's good or bad, but that causes people to say, whoa, I'm going to change maybe. Or you get fired from your job because you can't control your anger. Well, maybe I need to go get some help with that. You know, now that pain has caused change. It's the pain that brings about change. We don't like that. I don't like how that works, but that's how it works in my life. From a little kid, it's like that, you know? Don't touch the radiator. It's hot. You know, my hand. You know, my hand hurts. It burns. It burns. It burns. Mommy, Daddy, oh, did you touch the radiator? Yeah. Was it hot? Yeah. You gonna touch it again? No. Next time they get even close, they get 10 feet from the radiator, they start screaming, "Wah!" It's okay, you're not touching it, you know? They learn, pain teaches us. It teaches us, it really does. And so, this pain that we go through is supposed to help build my character and grow me as a person. That's great, God. You know, just keep taking things away from me and cut my arms off and my legs off so that I can be a person of character. Whoop-de-doo. That hurts. This pain hurts. Yeah, okay, I get it when, okay, maybe I didn't change the oil in my car, and so my car died, and so I need to learn to be more responsible. That's cool. That's an acceptable lesson. But loss, like losing a loved one, my buddy Justin losing his wife, to teach a lesson, it just feels cruel. I'm being honest, it feels cruel, doesn't it? That's a little much. That's not, certainly not comforting, okay? We read these verses when we're losing a lost one or we're going through this horrible times, and that is not comforting. Well, you know, God's going to use this to make you a stronger. Shut up! Really? Who the heck do you think you are? Nobody wants to hear that as a pastor. I know that. And sometimes I go to funerals and I see someone and they give a message like that, and I just want to like fight them. I do, because like that is not helping this person. That is not comforting anybody through this situation. Yes, that's true. That's great. It's applicable. But it doesn't give me the comfort that I need through this process right now. I'm being honest. So, what does comfort? Is there any hope? I used to think verse 5 or verse 4 where it says patience, experience, and experience hope. And verse 5 where it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. I thought that hope was the same hope as verse 2. That this hope was someday I'm going to get to go to heaven and be away from this world. I'll be reunited with people. I used to think that was the same hope. And so then the hope comes back around. But as I'm experiencing and I'm walking through this process, this is a different hope. And there is hope for you this morning if you're experiencing pain, if you're experiencing loss, if you seem like nothing will give, if life just keeps cutting you to the pain, to the pain, to the pain, there is hope. I want to share that with you this morning. It's a new hope. And I want to give you a new hope this morning that I've experienced, and I know this to be true. Sometimes as Christians, we feel ashamed of our feelings. We do. We feel ashamed of our feelings. I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't say these things about God. Some of you guys are probably going to go home and have me for lunch because I said some of the things that I said. How can he say that about God, you know? We do. We attack each other when we have feelings. I shouldn't be angry at God because God's great, you know? And is that blasphemous? Am I wrong? Or maybe we even go to this place. If I break down, what does that say about my faith? And will my family receive God because they're seeing me broken down? And if God's not helping me through this, then why should they have God in their life? So I have to be strong. I got to cover it up. I got to be strong through this. We feel that sometimes. We do. I don't know if it's a Christian thing. I'm supposed to have joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And we tell ourselves this stuff. And if I go back, if I go there emotionally, then I may never come back. If I let myself feel those feelings, I may not come back from that. What does that say about God if he can't really help me through this? Instead, I have to kind of pretend, I have to cage it off and not go there emotionally and feel the complete sorrow and the pain and the weight of what I'm about to experience. I need to be strong. I need to deny myself the luxury of feelings so that I can honor God. That's just hogwash. It really is. But I felt that many times before. I felt that. And I'm guessing you've probably been there too in those situations. And you felt that you need to be strong to honor God. And that's not true. The truth is that God wants us to feel. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible say this, that we should deny our feelings and not feel and pretend like everything's okay so that we can honor God. Jesus didn't do that. He wept. He shows up. He's about to bring Lazarus back from the dead, and he's crying. Well, how are they going to believe in you, Jesus, if you're crying? You're sorry from this loss. Shouldn't you be happy you're about to bring him back from the dead? Shouldn't you show up and be like, hey, this is going to be awesome. Lazarus is going to be back. We're going to have lunch with Lazarus this afternoon. But no, Jesus was feeling the full weight of all of the sorrow of the loss of his close friend and of his friend's brother. He allowed himself to feel all of that before he brought him back. He wept, he cried. The truth is that God is big enough to survive your sorrow. God is big enough to survive your emotions, no matter how deep they go, no matter how painful it is. We think that feelings are like Pandora's box, that once you open it, it is all over, that I'm going to be a mess, that I'm never coming out of this. But it's not. Feelings are more like a can of worms. Yeah, it's unpleasant. You know, there's a stench, there's a smell, but there's an end. There's only so many worms in the can, and we will get through it. And it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's not going to be this great, awesome experience, but you will get through it. There's an end. So I want to tell you guys my story, and then we'll wrap it up. The Wednesday, we went down to the hospital, and you know, we knew that he was probably not going to make it. They called the family in, and I went down to be with my wife. I did. Because I wanted to support her, because that's what a husband's supposed to do. So I get there to the hospital, and I walk in, and just, man, the atmosphere, you could feel that this is like a depressing situation. This is serious. And then I start to realize, it starts to dawn on me, my relationship with Uncle Rusty, how much I'm going to miss him. He's the one member of the family I liked on my wife's side. Except for Pastor Joe, you know. And my mother-in-law, of course. She's the most wonderful ever. No. But I did. I had a special connection with him. He's my buddy. And I start to feel the kind of the weight. I start to feel the emotions come. And I was sitting there, and I put this on Facebook. I'm sitting there in like the waiting room, and it's just like you almost feel this tsunami coming at you. This just wall of pain and grief and sorrow, and it's bigger than life. It's bigger than anything. And it's not going to stop. It's just going to wash over you and drown you and crush you to pieces. And there's nothing you could do. And that's what I was feeling. And I go in, because I wanted to say goodbye. I wanted to be able to see him one last time. And I go in, and we're in there, and it was just horrible. It really was. Now, I'm not going to describe it, but it was horrible. If you've ever been around just someone at their last time, it's a mess. And so then we come out from the room where we say goodbye, and my wife says, we need to get back to church because we had a youth group that night. And I said, no, I'm not going to run off. I need to feel this. And so I went and I sat in a waiting room. And I just took a deep breath and just let the feelings kind of wash over me. Let the sorrow come. Let the pain come. Let the suffering come. Let the realization creep into my mind. Let me feel all of it. And kind of my theme through this has been, I want to feel all the feelings, God. I want to feel all the feelings. And I just prayed. I just prayed. And here's what I wrote. I kind of journaled a little bit. And this is what I wrote. I said, just kind of described what I felt when I sat down and I prayed. And I was just crying, bawling my eyes out. I said, the deeper I go into the sorrow, I find God's love is deeper still. The more I allow myself to feel pain, then the more I feel love. God's love is insurmountable. It encompasses and overwhelms my pain, leaving me with peace. It is not that God's peace is a bypass to life's pain, but God's peace is a trustworthy companion through it. Every step of pain feels like brand new territory to me. like I'm going somewhere nobody else has been, like I'm stepping into darkness that would snuff out my heart. But with every step of pain, I find Jesus has already been here. And I'm not alone. And I don't know if you've felt that before, but I got to tell you, it was like I was swimming in that ocean of sorrow and pain. And I felt like the deeper I go, it's just going to drown me. But God's love was there. It was like it surrounded me. It started out really small at first. I felt like I was going to get to the end of God's comfort and the end of God's love if I went any deeper into the pain, if I went any deeper into the sorrow, then God's love's going to run out and I'm just going to die. But it kept going. And it was always just enough. And just enough, and just enough, until I got to a point where I started to kind of feel like I was coming out of it. And God's love, his comfort, the Holy Spirit, I can't describe it, inside of me, it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it was God's love and God's comfort that was the tsunami, just coming the other way to totally take over the sorrow. And I used to preach that if you have Jesus, then he's going to give you peace. And I used to think in my naivety, and my, maybe it's because I'm young, I don't know, that that would mean I won't have to feel these feelings. That the peace of God will come and take the place of these painful feelings. But that's not how it works. That's not what God wants, because there is that process in Romans chapter 5 that he's going to grow you because he loves you. And so he wants us not to skirt around them, but to go through them head on and to walk one step at a time through the pain. And he promises, and that's what the hope in verse number 5 is. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of your feelings. You don't have to be ashamed of the sorrow. You don't have to be ashamed of the process of suffering, building endurance and patience in your life and giving you character. You don't have to be ashamed of how you act through that process, because it's messy. And you're going to say things that you probably shouldn't say, or you feel like you shouldn't say, or act in ways you shouldn't act, maybe. You don't have to be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It will fill you and overwhelm you, because as Pastor Joe said last week, God is love. God is love. So this morning, I don't know what you're experiencing, but this is what I want you to take away. This is what I want you to take away. For comfort, the comfort that God offers, the supernatural comfort of God, for comfort to be real, you need to feel. For comfort to be real, you need to feel. It is not that you pray as a means of avoiding the pain and the situation and the emotions that you're going through. That's not it. It's not that you quote scripture to keep you away from going there mentally, emotionally. But it's that you go there and you trust that God will be there with you through it. And you walk through that. And he will comfort you. I promise you, he will give you a hope from verse 5. Not the hope like someday, somewhere that I don't really quite grasp, but a hope that's real, that's right now. It feels like a hug from God. And it's going to hurt like heck. But he's still going to get you through it, and it's going to be okay. You need to feel and invite God into your feelings. For comfort to be real, you need to feel. So this is what I want you guys to do. If you have a situation in your life this week that you're dealing with, and it is overwhelming and it is crushing you, I want you to walk towards that. And I want you to grab God's hand in your heart and in your mind, in your prayers, and say, God, I trust you. Come with me through this. And I'm going to tell you everything I'm feeling. I'm going to tell you all the junk. I'm going to share it. I'm going to be raw about it. I'm going to be honest about it, God. And I'm going to trust that you're big enough to handle it and get me through it. And he will. I promise you, he will. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you that you are love, that you are comfort. And God, we don't understand it. We don't like it. But God, I cannot imagine dealing with it any other way. I can't imagine dealing with sorrow of life, the pain of life, without you. God, I pray that we would be brave. that we would not cop out with our religious Christianity, but that we would be real and authentic. We would allow others around us in our community to see our suffering and our pain. We'd be open about that, God, that we would walk through it with you. Lord, we thank you for the comfort that you offer, and we pray that you would be with each and every person here this morning. I know there are people here that have depths of sorrow that I can't even imagine. God, be with them. Give them courage to walk through it. Show up like you have in my heart, and help them through this. In Jesus' name, amen.